Welcome to the Destiny Church Podcast. We just want to take a second to thank you for listening today. We hope today's message encourages you to find a closer walk with the Lord. Here at Destiny Church, you can find real, relevant relationships. Let's join in on the message together and hear a word from the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Okay, if you have your Bibles, you can get them out. I'm going to read to you the Christmas story. It'll be on the screen here behind you as well. You can follow along in Luke chapter 2. We've been in the middle of a series. Now we're concluding the series. We've been talking about Christmas through the eyes of. And last week we talked about Herod, which was a little bit different as it relates to what you might typically hear. Of course, we heard the shepherds and the wise men. And today is through the eyes of Mary and Joseph. So listen to the story as through their eyes now. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that the census should be taken in the Roman Empire. And this was the first census that took place when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to be in his own town to register, and so Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee, Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David. Okay, that just kind of rolls off your tongue. But think about if I said he had to go from Springfield to St. Louis. This is the distance of the journey, about 95 miles. We don't know if there was a donkey involved. We see that in the Christmas story, but we don't know that for sure. So this could have just as easily been a 95-mile rucksack journey. Maybe a week. I don't know. You might be able to walk it faster than a week, but your pregnant wife would still be in Litchfield when you got there. So You both have to get there. This is a 95-mile journey. Keep that in mind. And so because he belonged to the house of David, and David was from Bethlehem. Verse 5. And they went there to be registered with Mary, and he was engaged to marry him, but she was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came that the baby should be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths, and she placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the Motel 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord, we assume it's Gabriel, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory, the Shekinah of the Lord, shone round about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, which I absolutely love, anytime you encounter an angel in the Bible, they don't go, boo, ha-ha, gotcha, scared. The first thing is, hey, relax, it's all right. They're terrified, so they always say, they say this, do not be afraid. Why? Because I bring you good news, the evangel of great joy, which shall be not just for you, but for all people, because today, in the town of David, which is Bethlehem, a Savior has been born to you, and he is the Christ, or the Mashiach, and this will be a sign to you. You'll get there, and you'll find that baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger. Suddenly, with that angel, a company of heavenly hosts appeared, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. And when the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us go to Bethlehem now and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about. And so they hurried off, remember, leaving their sheep behind, and they found, through the eyes of Mary and Joseph, they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying there in the manger. See, let me just stop and just throw this in so you can catch this. Up until this point, Mary and Joseph have been doing this on a wing and a prayer. You know what I'm saying? Because there hasn't been any angels. There hasn't been any flash of lightning. It was a tedious journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem with a pregnant woman. Hello. In a manger, in the middle of the night. Is this all true? Is this really happening? And then all of a sudden, walks through the door. Shepherds confirming everything you've known about this child for the last 9 months. Gosh, I like that. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning him that had been told about this child. Verse 18, and all who heard it, they were amazed. And the shepherds said to them, Mary treasured up all these things, pondered them in her heart, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. I don't know. I'm not a big Christmas card sender, but I like getting Christmas cards. Is anybody else in that category? Some of you are pretty good at Christmas card sending, and I grabbed two Christmas cards this week when I was thinking about this, thinking about Mary, and I looked at these cards, and they're just your typical, you know, they're just your typical, it's a Hallmark card, and a Walmart card, and we look at these pictures, and we see here we have a gold halo around Jesus' head, you know, and we've got these really well-shaven, millennial-looking shepherds here with their toga belt in gold, and that their wise men are just, you know, they haven't come on a far journey either. They just climbed out of GQ magazine. And over here, everyone's made of silver, and it's just gorgeous. And not only does Jesus have a little halo above his head, but Mary and Joseph also have very distinguishing rays of light coming from their head. I mean, it's just picture perfect. But this is not how it happened. This is not how that couple weeks unfolded. And as I thought and as I prayed and I sat there and I thought, you know what? This reads like a Maury Povich show. You know Maury?
Yeah.
Not that you watch him, but you've all been to the doctor's office at noon and been subject to a, "You are not the father." So I thought about this, that these cards are fairy tales, and that what I was reading and what we read in that story is actually real life. And so the opening credits of the Maury show, and there's Maury, and he's talking about Mary and Joseph. Mary is sitting in that lone chair out in the middle of the stage all by herself, and Joseph is backstage in an isolation booth. And Maury says, yes, they were engaged. Typically, an engagement lasts about a year. But tell them what happened, Mary. I'm pregnant. Crowd goes, oh. The crowd goes, oh. See, the angel of the Lord went to the virgin. This is in Luke chapter 1. Here's how it went down. The angel of the Lord went to the virgin, promised in marriage to a descendant of David named Joseph. The virgin's name was Mary. When the angel entered her home, he greeted her and said, "You're favored by the Lord, full of grace. The Lord is with you." And she was startled, imagine that, by what the angel said, and tried to figure out what this greeting meant. And the angel told her, what do angels always say first? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor, grace with God, and you will become pregnant, and you will give birth to a son, and his name will be Jesus. And he will be a great man, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. Your son will be king of Jacob's people forever, and his kingdom will never end. Mary asked the angel, "How can this be? I am a virgin." And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy Child developing inside of you will be called the Son of God."
Now, Joseph is backstage. He hasn't heard any of this. Why don't we bring Joseph out?
Everybody, hey, Joseph. Yeah, Joseph comes out. What is Joseph? Very sheepish looking, right? Because everybody knows something that he doesn't know. And so he sits down in that chair, maybe gives her a little peck on the cheek, and Maury says, "Okay, Mary." This sounds more like a Springer show, doesn't it? "Mary, tell Joseph your secret." She got to tell him. And we know she did. And what did he do? Well, you know, she's holding his hand and she's caressing his hand. She loves him so much. And she looks in his eyes. "Joseph, I'm pregnant. You are not the father." What does Joseph do? Pulls his chair away. goes into a fit of rage. Oh, you don't think so? That night she told him, are you crazy? Are you nuts? So now, here in front of Maury's audience, he has a choice. He can do one of two things. He can publicly disgrace her, which leads to her stoning and public death. That's option A, not too desirable for Mary. But for a revengeful person, it would be perfect. Or he has option two. According to Scripture, he can put her away quietly. Just give her a letter of divorce and let her go live her life. He's not ready to make that decision. He's mad. He's ticked off. So the show ends with him not having been made a decision. In fact, he goes home and he goes to sleep. And while he is sleeping, trying to determine whether or not he will have this woman stoned to death or divorce her, he decides he's going to divorce her. The scripture says he decided to put her away quietly. I'm just going to get rid of her. But that night, the show is over. Joseph is laying down. Matthew 1:19, because Joseph was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had put in mind to divorce her quietly. Verse 20, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, I have four things for you to know. Listen to what the angel tells Joseph in a dream. Number one, what do angels always say? Relax. It's going to be okay. Isn't that a reassuring word? Of all the things they could say, they just always say, it's okay. It's all right. So four things to do. Number one, don't be afraid. Number two, go ahead and take Mary home as your wife. Because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son. And number three, here's the third thing you're supposed to do. You're supposed to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. At this, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, I'm glad he did this. He did what the angel of the Lord commanded him to do. Aren't you thankful? And so what he did is he took Mary home to be his wife. And here's the fourth thing. Oh, by the way, don't have sex with her until after she has this baby. I thought I was being gracious by not divorcing her. And now you're telling me what I'm going to name my kid. I'd be more than happy to tell Hannah and Ryan what they should name their child. I think Eric is a very strong, strong name, but they don't seem to want to come my way on that. So, you know, most parents like naming their own kid. So he doesn't get to name his own child, and now he can't have sexual relations with her. Bummer. But he didn't change his mind. So now he wakes up the next morning. This is how it, I don't know exactly how it happened, but you have to think this is kind of how it happened. Right. I mean, he woke up the next morning. He'd been visited by an angel. She said she was visited by an angel. I don't know. Oh, okay. I'm not going to divorce you. And we're not going to have sex. We're going to name the kid Jesus. So let's just see how this thing plays out. So, as it were, she became more and more and more pregnant. Then the decree of Caesar happened, and so now, great, because that wasn't part of the deal. Isn't always how God complicates things after you say yes? As soon as you say yes, it's like, I forgot to tell you about that other thing. Isn't that how you got saved? The preacher said, raise your hand, and then he said, just step out in the aisle. Then he said, just come on down to the altar. Next thing you know, you were leading some Sunday school class. How'd that happen? I don't know. It's just one, you know, that's how Jesus just come out a little bit deeper. A little bit deeper into the water, right? So anyway, so this is how the story unfolded. And now all of a sudden, we got to pack up Prego Mary and get her all the way down to St. Louis. Real world stuff. Not this. No, not this. I don't know. Do they have rent a mule, rent a camel, rent a whatever? I mean, I don't know if the carpenter has enough coin to get the job done, to get down there. It'd be a one-way rental probably for sure, which is more expensive, you know. I don't know, because we're going to be there in Bethlehem for a while. And do we have a donkey? We're leaving everything here from Nazareth, 95 miles all the way to get to St. Louis. All right, Mary, here we go. Whether it's on foot or horseback, we're not sure. If she's by foot, we're looking at least a week to get there. I mean, you're packing food. You can only eat so many figs and nuts and, you know, falafel and all whatever you got packed in your little duffel bag. And so you're hungry. You're not taking a shower every morning. You're dirty. You may be packing the tent that you're sleeping in. This is not fun. This is zero fun with a pregnant woman camping. Now you're there, right? And we're on a dusty road, and this is not fun. This is zero fun. Do you think maybe Joseph's beginning to double clutch his idea? He's like, man, this would be a great time just to get rid of her. Just get rid of the baggage. Real world stuff, man. And so he says, I'm sticking it out. I'm going to go all the way there. I know I'm worn out. I know I'm tired. And they get there only to find out the red neon, no vacancy light is shining in every little hotel and hostel in Bethlehem. Why? Because everybody's having to go back to their hometown because Caesar said so, so they could be counted for a census. So the town is packed like Sturgis in the summer. How many people in Sturgis live there? Not very many. It's like Branson. There you go. That's more like it. I mean, only like 5,000 people live in Branson, but on any given day, there's 500,000 people there probably. I don't know how. But that's how it works. You get there, you can't find any place in all of Bethlehem. Now, what I want to tell you now is perhaps the most pivotal statement of the morning, because it is the hinge on which this entire story swings, not just for these guys, not just for Joseph and Mary, but for you in your life. So listen, in spite of and in the middle of all of their questions, all of their concerns, all of their turmoil, all of their hunger, all of their hardships, all of their discomfort, and all of their pain, the Lord was about to unveil the most wonderful thing that the world had ever seen. The birth of a Savior, Jesus Christ, the Messiah who would bring freedom to everyone. Amen. There they were in the back of some stable, maybe an oil lamp or two, sharing that cramped quarter with a bunch of smelly animals, flies. I said flies, not angels. No trumpet fanfare from heaven. No wise men from the east with chests of gold. No shepherds even yet, as they were still sleeping in the field. And now the contractions begin. The cries, the tears, the wailing, the pain, with no one else there to lead this young couple through the land of inexperience. They had never done this before. And then a small, beautiful, blood-covered baby appears, and they name him Jesus. You know the rest of the story, because that's when the manger begins to be flooded with angels and shepherds. But I'm sure there were times in their life and in ours where we asked the question, why me? Why me? That's the question right here in the middle of our mess. Your mess. See, Mary and Joseph, they had a big mess. You might be in the middle of something too. Nothing seems to be going right. Our best plans, maybe even for your marriage, they fall apart. You've got nothing but 95 miles uphill, only to find out when you get there, there's no room. You're tired. You're ready to give up, but you don't dare. Because God is about to birth something spectacular in your life through and in spite of your heartache and your pain, through the dirt and the discomfort, through the disbelief and distraction, and through the intense labor. God is about to bring forth life through you and in you. I don't know if you're on Facebook or not. I think most of us probably have an account. And you know, in a lot of ways, gosh, it really tests my vanity. Because I'll take a picture of myself, a selfie, and I won't like it. I cannot delete it fast enough. I'm certainly not going to post it. Why? Because I have a digital camera. I could take 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 15 pictures till the light is just right and my neck is not so fat and my belly is not out there so far. And it's like, you know, there. And the light, and I'm smiling just right. And oh, that's the one I'm going to post. Not you all. You guys don't do that. But I'm just kind of exposing myself here. And you know it's tough, you know. And then, so you put that out there, and the ones you don't like are here's the ones you don't like. You don't like the photos that other people take of you and post because they look good in their picture. They don't give a rip about what you look like. You're in the back, and you're like, and your face is all, and you're picking your nose, or something like that. And so you want to call them and say, can you please take that picture down? That is so unbecoming of me. What that does, it creates a false narrative amongst us that tells you, I don't have any problems in my life. Look at Pastor Hansen's timeline on his Facebook account. He's going here and he's doing that and he's always smiling, he's always laughing, and da 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 da. And I look at your timeline and man, you're always doing that and you're always going there and you're always smiling, you always look the best. No one ever posts a picture of them in their bedhead, you know? The bedhead. No one ever does that. And so what we've done and what we do is we create a false narrative of what our life is like in some sort of virtual reality to where we think my problems are so huge when in fact, you want to see how many? Every one of you have a problem. I have problems. I just don't put them out there for everybody to read, right? But if that's what we digest on a daily basis, we begin to feel isolated. We begin to feel alone. We begin to feel that nobody could even begin to understand, and so forth. And we create for ourselves our own little isolationism to where we just want to just curl up and die and get depressed and say, you know, my life will never be as good as so and so's. When in fact, they're not out there telling you that they just, you know, lost a grandchild or they just found out they have cancer, or they got some bad news at work and they lost their job and their husband left them for somebody else. I mean, that's not the fun stuff you put out there, right? I'm going to submit to you that on some level, these do us a disservice, presenting all of the gold and silver and the cleanliness of that moment. Because I want you to think about how hard that was for Mary and Joseph. But they didn't give up. The Lord gave them a promise, as you have been given a promise. Hang on to that promise. The salvation of your children, the restoration of your finances, your health, your home, a place to live. Hang on to those promises. That's all Mary and Joseph had. They had no evidence. And then someday, somewhere, through the dark night, through the birth pains and the agony that you think you cannot go on another moment, the Savior appears. And then confirmation after confirmation. The shepherds pour in. The wise men pour in.
But that is only for those who will endure. It's not a popular message in Christianity, but you're going to have to endure. You're going to have to just, at some point, by foot or by donkey back, go your 95 miles. You're going to have to go your 95 miles in faith. They didn't have people in front of them with palm branches shouting, "Hosanna, this way, this way, this way." They were all by themselves in the dark of night in a cold, dark, smelly stable, hanging on to the thread of the promise. God has given me promises. He's given you promises. I'm encouraging you today through these stories, through this story. Don't buy the Facebook feed of Mary and Joseph. Get into the reality of what this story looked like. A man felt betrayed, yet he stayed with his wife. He believed her, and they stuck it out. And as a result, "And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." And he can live in your heart this Christmas. Make him the center of your celebration. And you'll see that journey of 95 miles gets easier, at least a little bit, when you know he's with you. Amen?
Amen.
Why don't you stand up with me, please? Father God, we come to you today in great faith, knowing that what seemed to be impossible, which was a virgin conceiving and giving birth to the Savior of the world, it just seems impossible. It seems so strange. Yet I know if you can lift 100 pounds, then you can surely lift 10. Stands to reason. So if you can do something, God, as amazing as that, surely you can take care of my situation. You can birth that thing in me, that new thing in me. You can take care of me. Maybe this year, the promise that God has given you is for that dream job or for a mate that will love you. Maybe it's your year of education or the year your finances get restored or your health gets restored, your lost children come home. Know this, Romans 4:21, be fully persuaded that God has the power to do what he has promised. Romans 4:21, be fully persuaded that God has the power to do what he has promised, and he has promised to you strength, health, peace, salvation. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, it's time to begin the 95-mile journey. And a journey of 95 miles begins with one step. And if you're willing to take that step toward the voice of the Lord this morning, first giving your life to him totally and completely, and then hearing his voice, even in dreams at night, saying, "Yes, Lord, I will do your will. I will walk your way. Even in the dark night." That's the promise we make, and that's the promise I call you to this morning, to take that step, the next step on your journey, until on that day you see him face to face. If you're willing, if you're already on that journey, or you're willing to take that very first step this morning, would you just raise your hand with me? As a sign to the Lord, I am yours. I'm gonna go through the midnight hour with you, Lord. Even as to a hard place, even as to a place that doesn't look like the Ritz-Carlton, it's a little shabbier than that. I'm still gonna hang on. I'm gonna be with you. Lord, you see our hand in the air this morning, and it's a sign that says we believe you and we trust you. But also, Lord, as there's unbelief tucked in the corner of our hearts or our minds. We ask that you would help us with our unbelief. We give you our heart, our mind, our spirit and soul this morning on this Christmas Eve. We bless you and thank you for how you've given us such a true, gritty, unpolished story of how it went down. Forgive us for making it so glamorous at times that it's so hard to believe. And may, as we read the Christmas story in our homes this evening, tomorrow, may we be reminded once again that through the eyes of Mary and Joseph, we can see the Christ child born in our home. We thank you that you're born in our hearts this day, Christmas Day. And so now I bless your church, Lord. Can you just lift your hands and receive a blessing? Father, I bless your church. I bless these families, these homes. Maybe grab the hand of a loved one this morning. That, Lord, that this coming year would be a year of prosperity, of increase, of strength, of joy, of healing, and of new beginnings, fresh starts. God, as we faithful to walk the 95 miles to Bethlehem, that you might and your promises might come to pass in our lives. To God be the glory in your home and in your life and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And now in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, go in peace and serve him with gladness. Amen. 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 God bless you all. Very Merry Christmas. Have a fantastic day.
You've been listening to the Destiny Church Podcast. Our prayer is that today you were encouraged by the word that you heard from the Lord. If you have any questions or would like prayer, please connect with us at destiny217.org. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as well, where you can find all of our events and things happening around the church. Thank you for listening to the Destiny Church Podcast, where you can find real, relevant relationships.